A prayer. May the spoken word be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's the first Sunday of Lent, and I feel like Pam suggested, that's Reverend Pam, suggested at the beginning of Advent, I feel I'm at the beginning of a journey, at the beginning of an adventure. And that feeling of buzz and excitement is what hits us when we read these verses at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. If you look at your passage, you can see all the characters that are packed into these seven verses. Jesus, John the Baptist, God the Spirit, God the Father, Satan, wild beasts, and angels. A pretty packed opening stage. And I want to suggest today that Lent can be embraced as a positive time, not as a grey, bleak experience. And my reason for saying this is that if we take Jesus as the model, as shown in this passage, what do we see happens? Well, first of all, there is a great interaction between heaven and earth. The passage talks about the heavens being torn apart, the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus, heaven, as it were, on earth. Angels, God's messengers, members of God's staff, being with Jesus and supplying his needs. This reminds me of the story of Jacob in Genesis, where he had a sleep in the desert, and in his dream he saw angels going up and down on a ladder between heaven and earth. And there is something of this in the reading from Genesis as well that Barbara read for us. The rainbow that stretches between earth and heaven, that links the two together. What a beautiful sight a rainbow is. How out of this world and yet commonplace. Coming unexpectedly, at any time, and in any place. Something like those thin places and times when the gap between this material world and another world seems very small and insignificant. And then the 40 days experience. This came after Jesus had been baptized or drenched, not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit, together with a strong affirmation that his relationship to God was as close as a child to his Father. A voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the one I love. With you I am well pleased." If we pause for a moment to think about our own baptism and confirmation, the two things go together, water and the Spirit. In the way that the Church of England does things, and let's remind ourselves that that isn't the only way that God works within the Church of England, but in the way that the Church of England does things, baptism and confirmation are really just part one and part two of the same service. Or perhaps I should say, confirmation is there at the baptism service, and baptism is there at the confirmation service. At baptism, the minister talks about cleansing and forgiveness, and the new life of the Holy Spirit. And at confirmation, the bishop says to each candidate, "God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirm, O Lord, your servant, this person with your Holy Spirit." That doesn't mean it only happens there at that point when the bishop puts his hands on the candidate. Remember, the service is publicly confirming what is already true. And both at baptism and at confirmation, we say these affirming words as a congregation. We say, "We welcome you into the Lord's family. We are members together of the body of Christ. We are children of the same Heavenly Father. We are inheritors together of the kingdom of God. We welcome you. So as we step into Lent, we have the same affirmation and all the resources that Jesus had. Forgiveness, a clean slate, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and our acceptance as children of God. And what of the 40 days, the wilderness experience of 40 days? In the Bible, 40 is used as a measure of a significant time. The flood lasted 40 days. The purification of a woman after childbirth was 40 days. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days. The wandering of the Israelites in the wilderness lasted 40 years. So I think the 40 days suggest a period of time that had a clear beginning and a clear end. What does it mean when it says Jesus was tempted by Satan? Well, in Matthew and Luke, we are given the dialogue between Jesus and the tempter. And in John's Gospel, we just have John the Baptist's account of the baptism. But here in Mark, I rather like the generalization that he has. Jesus was tempted, and his tempter was Satan. Satan, the adversary, the enemy, the opposition. And what sort of testing was it? Well, the Greek word suggests the meaning of testing the quality of something, rather than the idea of trying to trip someone up to make an indiscretion. It's more like testing the strength of a product, proofreading a text, exercising quality control. And in that desolate place, a place bereft of human kindness and company, God's presence was there in the angels that supported Jesus, like the angels that went up and down on the ladder when Jacob was sleeping. So Jesus' experience in the wilderness, what was the outcome of that time? Well, Jesus emerged stronger and more robust, thoroughly energized for the task ahead. John the Baptist, who at the beginning was so pivotal to the story, by the end of this short passage, had been removed from the scene and was in prison. Was it this, the fact that John the Baptist was no longer there, that made Jesus all the more determined to proclaim the good news? Certainly, he saw that his moment had come. The time was right. Everything was in place for his ministry to begin. And what was it that Jesus said? What was his manifesto? And the manifesto that's not just here, but everywhere, again and again, throughout his ministry. The kingdom of God has come, he said. Repent and believe in the good news. God's kingdom is good news. Good news is God's kingdom. This is a new beginning, a fresh start. It's not old news, because old news cannot be good news. So, Lent is a time when we are strengthened for the task ahead, whatever it is. It is a time for encounters with God's power and God's endless resources. A time even for rainbows and miracles. It is a time for driving us forward to the next thing. A time for reminding ourselves of the promises of our baptism and confirmation. And a time for re-immersing ourselves in the Holy Spirit. Just before I come to the end of my sermon with some quotes, I'd like you to turn to the next hymn, which is Spirit of the Living God. 6:1-3. And when I finish my sermon, and go down and sit down, I'd like us to sing this hymn, Spirit of the Living God, as we sit quietly in our pews. So I'd like to finish with two quotes that I came across this week. The first is attributed to David Livingstone. He said, "I am prepared to go anywhere, provided it be forward." And another, attributed to Charlotte Bronte, "I avoid looking forward or backward and try to keep looking upward." May God bless your Lent, and may it include some rainbows. Amen.